Is there anything in the story that Ralph added? All right, now we're gonna see there's two other questions that are asked. The main questions that are asked about each text are these. What does this passage tell us about God? All right, here's your assignment for the week. When you read your devotions, whenever it is during the day this week, I want you to ask these two questions of the text that you are reading. What does this text teach me about God? And what does this passage teach us about ourselves? That's the way I have devotions now, to help me assimilate this naturally. And I am always astonished at what I learn when I ask those two questions alone. I am even more astonished. Though I might be sitting with James Bloodworth, an uneducated Muslim, I am astonished at what James is learning about God from the text. I'm astonished because some of it is new to me. Now, I haven't taken the time to show you, and I do have time to do that. I want to show you the biblical basis of a discovery Bible study, why this approach is so powerful when you think about it. But those are the two questions, and that's what I want you to focus on. That's the heart of a DBS. What does this teach us about God? What does this teach us about ourselves? All right. Now we're going around the group, and we're saying, well, I see this, that teaches me this about God. If you don't see in the text what that person is saying, then you must say, where in the text do you see that? Why do you do that? That's how you police the group from heresy. That's how you police the group from error. Anybody, yeah, the facilitator or anyone will, I mean, usually in a group that's ongoing, other people will say, because they're used to it being said. The first time, and probably for 3 or 4 weeks, the facilitator has to ask that question because it's a little uncomfortable. But once it gets part of the wiring of a group, it is electric. Because then no one is going to drag into the text what isn't in the text. And it is an amazingly healthful question. As City Team and others look at the health of their discipleship groups and of their growing churches around the world, they are amazed at how pure and true to the Word of God they are remaining because of those questions. It's what the Bible says. It's not what I think. No, it's got to be clear. Clear enough that someone who is even listening that can't read will get what you're saying. If this passage is true, what behavior should we change this week? This is called your I will statement. Every week they learn this. Since God has spoken, I've got to change. I have got to do something based on the Word of God. So what they are learning from the outset, even before they become believers, is when God speaks, I've got to change. I've got to respond. They bring an obedience-based understanding of the text right into their Christian faith once they believe. It's incredible. Then they're ready to go. That's why, you see, Jesus said again, when I preach to churches, I'll say, how many of you know the Great Commission? How many of you could repeat the Great Commission? Fine. Now usually they don't get it right. Usually this is what they say. Go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. Period. They don't say teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. They stop at teaching them. Go into all the world, teach them. No. Teaching them, I can do from here. Teach them to obey, I cannot do from there. I got to go with you. How do you apply this in your life? How does this look together? That's how you teach to obey. There's got to be an accountability group where you teach to obey. So, that in a nutshell. Now, this usually takes an hour and a half to get through. Some settings, like Saturday mornings in South Philly, we've only got an hour. So we omit a few of these questions. Okay? So this is not a sacred kind of list where you got to do it. This is a helpful teaching tool. But those two questions, what does this teach us about God? What does this teach us about ourselves? And what is the Holy Spirit saying to me that I need to change? Then you go around the group. Fred, who I was able to disciple, he's now an effective disciple maker. He is leading, though he's a layman, he's an elder, a PCA elder. He's leading pastors in a section of suburban Philadelphia every week in a DBS training. These pastors are being broken. They come to Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve. One pastor says, I will treat my wife with a kind of dignity and love that I know God wants me to treat my wife with. Now, he's saying this out loud as an I will statement that the group is to hold him accountable for the next week and pray for him for. Fred's writing down these I will statements. This is, you can imagine, when you don't leave strings dangling and you are holding each other accountable, the quality of the faith that is being produced is incredible. On November 2nd, the week after I get back from this trip, we're going from here to Memphis, then up back north. I'm going to be meeting on All Saints Day with an Anglican and a Northern Baptist church meeting together whose pastors want their Christian attendees to become disciples. And that's just emerging out of this up north. It's incredible what's happening. So, familiarize yourself with this. Begin to ask yourself those three questions. What does this text teach me about God? What does it teach me about ourselves? What do you want me to change? What's my I will statement that you're taking away? Why? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, James said. So, here's the story to conclude tonight. This April, was the first national DMM conference in America. It was held out in Kansas City. And I was asked to come, and Jerry spoke. And Jerry said, I want to let you people know what's happening in West Africa. Now, this was before Ebola. There is a foundation, a Christian foundation, that said to Jerry, they are helping to finance disciple-making movements. And they said to Jerry, you ask the leaders in West Africa, what is there that you could do if you just had the funds to do it? And then, Jerry, you bring us back their answer. Jerry went. He met with, I don't know how many, but many leaders with that question. They prayed, and they said, here's our answer. God is calling us to go north of the Sahara into the most resistant Muslim countries of North Africa with the gospel. We know that this is going to cost us our lives, which means our families are going to be left destitute. If you will promise, if we die, to take care of our families, that is the greatest thing that you could do for us. The foundation said we will do it, and they have gone. And Jerry said, fairly recently, over 200 have been martyred already, going to make disciples as Jesus told them to make it. But the inroads, Jerry is writing another book. There's a sequel to this book called Father Glorified. David and Paul Watson. David Watson is the one who found the DBS system in India when he was sending out evangelists who were being martyred. He said to the Lord, there must be a better way than just sending out people preaching in the marketplaces and having the Hindus kill them. Show me what it is. Luke 10 was shown to him. He developed that. That is spread globally. Dave and Paul Watson has a book that's coming out on discipleship by Thomas Nelson that will be published, I believe, in November of this year. It's not likely here in America that this is going to cost you your life. Physically, your blood, it will cost you your life. That's the whole point. As Luke, the passage that Pastor preached on so well, Debbie and I were so blessed by his message. As we came down here, we were listening to it. Luke 14:33. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. The terms of Jesus are, I will give you life, but it will cost you your life. This is what let everyone who follows me deny himself means. We've got to say no to ourselves. Now, if we were not seeing this work globally, we still should do it just by faith in following Jesus ourselves. It has been an incredible shot in the arm to see how this is being done globally. In January, Lord willing, I will go with a fellow I'm training to Zambia, because there is a pastor of the fastest growing church in Africa called the Bible Gospel Church of Africa, Bigoka. And he has said to me, come, disciple making is what Africa needs. We don't need another Bible college. We need discipleship training centers. Come and establish them here in the center of Africa, so countries around us can come. We'll be going to do that, Lord willing, in January. Then back to South Africa. We'll come, I'll come back. It's just going to be a two-week trip. We'll spend 10 days there. Then we'll come back, and Deb and I will go for a month to South Africa, at the end of which Debbie will come back here, and if Ebola has not invaded Ghana in West Africa, I'm going to go to Ghana. And because I have a pastor there that came to the Bible College, and he has 200 pastors that are saying we need to have disciple-making taught to us. So come. So I'll go to Ghana, Lord willing, at the end of that trip. Then we'll come back, and in August we'll go to South Africa. And then when Deb comes back, I'll go up to Kenya, Lord willing, and do the same. I know the Lord wants me to go as often as I can, as quickly as I can, because the world is changing rapidly. And we may not have these open doors. I mean, Jerry, who would have guessed a year ago, 6 months ago, when he invited me to go in May, I thought, I won't go in May, maybe I'll go in November. There is no November. For Sierra Leone, the borders are sealed. They're projecting hundreds of thousands of deaths to Ebola. Now the number's up to 7,000 infected, with 3,500 who have died. That's the tip of the iceberg. So pray against Ebola and for the spread of the gospel. And be assured of this. I will do whatever I can to facilitate your leaders and you in being able to hold disciple-making groups with people of peace. You don't do this with anyone that doesn't want it. That's the beauty of this. It's a work that God does right in your eyesight, and He will do it. So this week, have your devotions in that way. On the trip down here, when Deb and I would have our, I'd have my own devotions, but when we would read together, we'd do a DBS together. It's incredible what the Holy Spirit teaches me through her. And that's what I want to close with, are these verses, without comment. Listen to these promises. This is why discovery Bible studies, it's not the only way to study the Bible, but it is an effective way to make disciples as you study the Bible. Jesus said this. This is the first text that City Team trains you to go through. Now, City Team's not a Reform Presbyterian group, but listen to what they're teaching. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. They say they're people God is preparing. They don't talk about predestination. They don't call them the elect. They call them people of peace. Well, we don't mind calling them the elect. It is written in the prophets. This is the astounding promise. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me. Now, James Bloodworth is a Muslim presently, but he is listening to the Father through the studies and the scripture that we are having together. I'm not pressing him for a decision out of some fear that tomorrow he's going to end up in hell. That's the way I used to do things. I trust in God to do His work. So the Holy Spirit will teach you, John 14, 1 John 2, verse 28, verse 27. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. The point is this. There's times when we're really blessed by pastors teaching us. But He's also saying, the anointing will teach you. If you let the Holy Spirit do it, He will do it. DBS helps that to happen by keeping the expert quiet. You see why it's so important when you have a DBS that you don't bring in truth from other passages, because only those who have studied those passages can do that. And the moment you start doing that, the other people feel stupid that they don't know as much. And why are they even going to say anything since everyone knows so much about the Bible but them? So that's why you focus only on the text and you do not allow. That's what the guy was referring to in his email about us being like Hitler. He went to Fred's group and he started bringing into the text all these other teachings from other parts of the Word. Fred says, that's great that you know that, but we don't do that in a discovery Bible study because that will intimidate the seekers around you. The guy got up and stormed out. And that was that. So, we are not saying that the DBS is the only way to do it. What we are saying is this. It works. And the Holy Spirit teaches. And you know what? I bring a lot of learning into a study. I am astounded at what the most unlearned are teaching me by the Holy Spirit when those questions are asked. John 6:44 and 45 and John 14:26 and 1 John 2:27 and 28. 2:27 and 28. You're welcome. Sure. John 6:44-45. Because, see, that's everyone will be who is taught by the Father will come to me. See, that's why we start at creation and go to Christ. We really believe that as this foundation is laid, people will truly come to Christ. And they do. John 14:26. And 1 John 2:27 and 28. Yeah, Salvation Army. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was amazing. And it happens every time. And it will happen to you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were men of peace. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's pray. Dear Father, This is a very special time in the life of this congregation. We thank you for bearing them up under recent persecution and for showing them a way forward and having them not hold hostility and bitterness and anger and hate in their hearts, but to forgive as you have forgiven them, their debtors. I pray you will bless them and guide them. I pray, Lord, as Jesus said, if you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Lord, give them the blessing of doing the word, learning how to obey the word themselves, and then learning how to facilitate groups where people of peace that you are already now preparing based on where you've put them. You've put them all in the streets, in the homes. You are moving some. You're bringing others. This is all in your hands. And God, we want to be used of you. So bless your word as it goes out of this place, even between now and when we meet at River Commons on Friday, when we meet back here on Saturday for the larger renewal of biblical discipleship seminars. Do an amazing work in the lives of each one of us. Why? Because without you, Jesus, we can do nothing. We need you in everything. So be with us, close to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming.